Welcome back to my podcast, Lo Hannah Song. I'm glad to see you all here. I am your host, the author, Little Highlands, the Alpha Wolf, Will Sema himself. And I wanted to do a little podcast here tonight, a little different than others. Someone had mentioned to me about it. Said to me, it was a girl I work with, about kayaks. I was looking into a kayak, and they struck me, talking to them, as somebody that knew absolutely nothing whatsoever about kayaks. And I thought this is pretty interesting because, there was a time when I knew absolutely nothing about kayaks, and there really are not a lot of podcasts out there just running out of specs and what I personally feel about them. And I've done some 2-minute videos on different things lately I've worked on. And yeah, this is a little bit longer. I can take my time. So I'm going to do that. Boating to me, I'm more of a hiker, and it's gonna be a technical type of podcast. If you're not looking into a kayak, it's probably going to be very boring to you. But a lot of these skills and things I'm gonna mention are utilitarian across the board, be it from kayaks to hiking to just general all-around use of needing to do something. Nobody knows how to do anything anymore. And I have learned a lot in my lifetime that I've learned how to apply across the board in different ways, in different genres, and take that information and the technical skills of it and apply it in a way that can be used on kayaks. So I'm going to run through a few things because I'm not a real big technical person. You run into this with hiking a lot. You have people that'll run through all the specs, all the water bottles, all the headlamps, all the trekking poles, all the tents, all the gear, your backpacks, water filters, you name it. I mean, you can literally sit and drive yourself crazy researching about hiking, and as a for instance, never even hit the trail. You'll know everything about it, but you'll know how many ounces something weighs. You'll know, and they are important facts, of course. But to me, I've always kind of been annoyed by that because it's like, to me, I'm gonna work what I'm doing around what I have. If I have a $500 backpack and gear, yes, I'm going to be able to do more things with other things than I would with my old military Alice pack. My old military Alice pack, I love it though. It's a pain. It's tough. It's a tough pack, but it's not light. And I know when I'm going to be out with my Alice pack, out trekking around, it's going to be a different experience than when I'm with my Deuter or my Osprey or my Mountain Hardwear. That's the point of this. In anything you're dealing with, you look at the technical specs and they're important. But you have to look at the utilitarian use for each one of them. It's not saying one thing's better than the other. They each have their purpose. And if you're comfortable with them, know what you have well enough to be able to use it. Don't worry necessarily what's better or what's less. It's like knowing your own abilities. Don't compare yourself to other people. There are people that can only hike 10 miles a day, and they feel bad about it. They want to do 20. than there are people fighting diseases or people in nursing homes that, to them, an accomplishment in their day is being able to walk down the hallway. So in life, it's not about trying to compare yourself to others. I feel the same way with the information I'm about to give you, because I am not saying one thing is better than the other. I'm just speaking to my purposes in the past few years' experience with the kayaks. And the three I'll mention, and I would have no problem taking any one of them out. I'll get into that. First of all, boating. Why do I love boating? Well, I was very young. My father had been a merchant marine in World War II and in the army in Korea. And during World War II, I always grew up with these stories of him on the boats. And I could go through an entire podcast series of those stories. But to me, it was always magical. And one of my earliest memories being this is the Loyal Hannah song podcast for this book I mentioned. I named my book because I love the Loyal Hannah. And I remember fishing there as a child, catching bluegill, catfish, bass, and of course trout, because my father was a great trout fisherman. There are these stories about him being on the ocean, World War II. And he always seemed to really love it. He loved World War II better than Korea, because in World War II, he was on a ship. Korea, that was a miserable experience. But I grew up with these stories from this old mariner. And I grew to have that same love and respect. In fact, in my one book I mentioned where I buy this book of, it was an anthology of the sea. My dad looked at me and he goes, "Yeah, you got it in your blood, son." You know, he said that to me. And that's just one of the things, you know, I grew up with. So when it comes down to thinking about my father, let me look here. Thinking about right here, I have a knife, the Marlin spike on it. And I do a lot of rope work with this. My father taught me a good bit. He could take a rope and braid it back through itself and splice it, where most people would not have that ability, those skills. And I learned a lot of rope work ideas from him. He never sat down and really taught me a lot, but I watched him, and I've read a lot in books and researched over the years that same purpose of doing rope work. A lot of yachting people, this is considered a yachting knife, but during World War II, this is the kind of knife he carried. And he was on those Liberty and Victory ships, to mention one of them. So my first ship I went on with him was the Brig Niagara up in Erie. Bill Millett's son David, who had passed away many years ago, he'd been hit by a car. Really sweet, sweet guy. Said to my dad one day, "Hey, the Niagara's up here. It's on land. At one time it had been in the water. Now it's back in the water, by the way. But that time it was on land. Why don't you just take Willie and go up and check out the Niagara?" And we all went. And to me it was a pirate ship, but it wasn't a pirate ship. But to me, I'm looking at this magnificent ship. This beautiful, beautiful ship right in front of me. And I'd never seen anything up close like that before. I got to go on deck and below deck. And I have pictures of this experience. it reinforced my love for the sea. Later on in life, we never did a lot of boat fishing. My father always wanted a boat. But his idea of a boat and mine was something very different. He wanted the biggest boat you could get. I had gone up with his friend Perry up on Kinzua fishing. And we took a boat up and stayed in the woods for a couple days and camped. Up there you can camp anywhere along Kinzua. And many years passed. And then there had been an experience where my neighbor across the street, who was a wrestler, pretty famous guy, took us fishing up on Conemaugh Dam. And some of the greatest fishing and greatest times we ever had. Billy called my dad Pap. My dad was in his 80s at the time. It was right before he passed away. He says, "Why is he calling me Pap? Does he think I'm an old man?" And I says, "No, no." And this went on a while, and finally Billy says, "No, Pap, that's respect. I'm old school that way." So we had a lot of fun, the three of us. And then we finally had a chance to buy a boat of our own. And it so happened to be when my father had pancreatic cancer and was dying. And for me, that summer was a project trying to restore this boat. It was a kind I'd take on Lake Erie. And I put a lot of money into it and found out that the subhull on it was ruined. When they put the new seats on it, they put the seats down through the fiberglass and it rotted out the wooden main structure. So I had to get rid of it. And I basically lost that and my dad at the same time. So that was my adventure with boats. My adventure with boats with my dad. But I had a trailer and I got this large canoe that has a flat back like a regular rowboat. Used that for a while when I had more people around. And I had a lot of fun with that, but it just wasn't the same without my dad. And got to be for myself a very arduous task to take this boat and try launching it, because it wasn't the type of canoe that you could lift yourself. You had to use a trailer, back in, get it to where to float. And you're doing three things at once. You're trying to back in, launch it by yourself. And it became hectic. And even to take it out of the water, you had to wait until it was your turn. Not that bad of a thing if you're up on Lake Erie and you have a big boat, but if you have a small canoe and you just want to go out for a little bit, it's kind of pointless. It's kind of redundant. So I started looking into something that my father would laugh at me about. In fact, he'd look at these kayaks and say, "Why would someone want to be in that? It's a small, little, tiny boat." Okay. And I felt the same way for a long time. I remember being out on Lake Erie one time and seeing a guy out in the middle of Lake Erie with on a kayak. And I thought, that guy's nuts. That guy's crazy. But I got interested in them when I saw how portable they were. And I never realized it, because when I was younger, the kayaks that I had seen were more patterned after what the Native Americans on the West Coast had made, as well as the tribes, the Inuits, I believe out of sealskins, for a small portable boat. Kayak was a stealthy boat they could fish and hunt with. And those ones at those times were very dangerous to be on. There weren't as many safety precautions as there are now with kayaks. So I thought about it and I looked into it, and I have two sun dolphins. One is a sit on top that's 10 feet, and the other is a sit in that's 10 feet. And I found things with both of them that I love and hate. Again, everything has its uses. It's not good or bad. It should be based on your skill level. You should be able to problem solve these things. One of the things with a boat or a kayak or anything in the water are a couple of factors. Number one is buoyancy. Number two is how well that buoyancy affects your ability to trek through the water, through currents and waves. That's a big one. That factor goes on your center of balance in the water. This is true with any ship. It has a deeper hull. It travels faster. It treads faster. Its center of balance is lower, especially with ocean currents. And that's not something you'd normally think about. The kayak, those big things are on a smaller scale. And I found a love for them that's much the same as someone that goes ultralight backpacking or works on diesel mechanics and decides to enjoy a one-cycle engine and play around with small engine mechanics. It's the same concept. They're fun, but they're also a real thing. You want to know what you're doing, or you could be out on them and very easily be killed. You could drown. You have to take it extremely seriously. With a sit-in kayak, you tread very, very well. You're basically in a cockpit that has, with like the sun dolphin, your feet out on inside of it to your belly, and a back part that's like a bubble that if you would sink, that would fill with air. So it's a very fast, stealthy kayak. It's based on the original design, the Inuits used, to a point. But it's made out of a softer plastic, so it scratches very easily. I love it. I've had more fun in the sit-in kayak than any of my other kayaks. When you are in it, though, certain things are very clear to you. Number one, getting in and out of it is not easy. Number two, hauling it is very difficult. You don't have the handles on it that you would on a sit-on. And if you would sink or fall out of it, you're not just going to crawl back on it. If you were to fall out, you would have to crawl from basically behind the kayak, climb onto it, wiggle your way up onto it, trying not to tip it, and going in it. And then the other thing occurs to you, that if you get water in it, it's not like a sit-on kayak, which is basically an piece of plastic that has water drainage, that water goes out. You have to have a way to get the water out of it. And it's a great amount of water. Well, one of the things they give you is a little hand pump. So you picture yourself if this thing goes down, and you're hopefully wearing a life jacket, because you know you need a nice life jacket. And not just a life jacket like the kind of the orange kind. You want something that's like a good life jacket that fits you like a vest. Don't skimp on the price on these things, because it's your life. But you're out there in the water. You manage to get this little hand pump. And you're going to pump, 40 gallons, 50 gallons of water out by hand, just squeezing this thing. Hopefully it gets buoyancy again, and hoping that back end stands up in the water. So that's the factor with it. That's the downside of having your ability to track very well to your ability to use basic physics and know that this is, to have a center of balance that low means that you can take on water. The second kayak is a Bali SS. It's a green kayak that I enjoy. I usually let people that can't swim, I'm not a very good swimmer either, I always let people that can't swim very well use this one. And it's a sit on top. The downsides to this being, we're in a sit in, anything you want to keep is basically inside that cockpit. I don't recommend taking your phone, but if you would have your phone, your camera, fishing lures, anything you have with you, in a sit in, there's less of a chance of it to fall out. On a sit on top, you're sitting on top of it. Things can fall in. There's more weight to a sit on. It's basically a bubble of plastic. Neither of these entry-level kayaks have very good seats on them. So you can buy a piece of foam or something and make it a little more comfortable. But what becomes very apparent to you on a sit-on kayak when you're out, that is the takeaway. You have the buoyancy. You have the balance. You are not going to sink as easily. If you fall out of it, you can crawl back on it. Your trekking in the water is oftentimes horrible. So you're aiming an object. You want to, the same as with hiking in the distance. Let's say you're out in the middle of the Sahara in Africa and you see a mountain. You want to focus on that mountain you're going towards, because you have a tendency to walk with one foot more than the other and end up walking in a circle. It's no different with a kayak. You wanna take with these, you know, a kayak paddle has a paddle on each end, so you get into a rhythm. And hopefully you go forward. But what you realize in a sit on top kayak is that it don't always do that. Sit on top kayak is going to be at the mercy of the wind, the currents, waves. A lot of other factors. My father would tell me about being at sea. Tell me about the currents. Being able to read them. And I've done this a bit on lakes. The Maori were wonderful at it. They could actually read the trade winds and go from island to island without a map, just following those trade winds. But you realize there's parts of the lake that are different consistencies of water based on a current. On a sit-in kayak, it doesn't bother you so much if you have the ability to trek. So what you end up doing is getting a skeg, which is either a fin on the bottom, like surfboards have, or you make one, it's like a rudder on the back. And they can have them where you can steer with them and whatnot. I find a steering with a skeg, or a rudder, I should call it, to be kind of pointless. You're doing too many things at once. You're trying to paddle and steer with your feet, and that gives you more of an opportunity to misjudge things. So I keep mine pretty solid and stationary. And when I added a skeg, I found a rudder that it corrected that problem, because it gave more balance between the front of the bow and the back. So I'm more fond of the sit-on-tops, but I love the sit-ins. There's no what's better or what's less. Every tool has its own purpose. A kayak you would use in whitewater is not one that you would want on a smooth lake. Is definitely not one that you would want on the ocean. But I saw one that I really liked. And a lot of these things that people complain about on rope work, I use Amsteel rope on. Replacing that small cordage with Amsteel, which is a rope that they use for yachts. And it recently has gotten pretty big in the hiking community, for hammocks and tie downs. You can do a dog's ear or a double berry and make a ring that has no beginning or end to it. It's a non-abrasive rope, it's not affected by UV or water. And they use them for hiking on hammocks for the boat ridgeline and for the connectors to the trees. So you have a rope that's about the size of paracord that can hold roughly about 800 to 1,000 pounds. And they can make them where the berry goes back into it in a loop and pulls on itself like those little finger traps. And you can adjust the rope to wherever you want it. When weight is put on it, it stays at that level. And for hikers, it's very, very useful because if you have trees around you, I'll put it that way, it's useful. You don't have to worry about finding a tree that's exactly as far apart as the other tree to tie it to. And it's water resistant. So knowing this, I can make a lot of things for a kayak. I can make an anchor. I can make a lot of the tie downs. I can make loops and paddle holders and all these different things that are very minimalist. On this kayak I just bought, a lot of people complain that the rope that holds the sealed containers on it that are in the ports isn't strong enough. Well, I just simply replaced that in 5 minutes with Amsteel, and it's not a problem to me. Again, seeing the benefits, losses, the great things, and weighing the options, I can manage that very well. You problem solve. So I saw this kayak company, and a little pricey. Was looking around at their line for a couple reasons. I want a good fishing kayak. When I fell and broke my back last year, I realized these cheaper kayaks with seats are not very good for me. And I wanted something more with a stadium seat. So that was my number one sell on this. Second one is looking at their lineup. And there's many kayaks in their series. Let me see here. Kayaks. There's some that even have motors on them, for God's sakes. You have the Shearwater, Kubera, the Sea Ghost, the Yellowfin, and the Skipjack. So your cheapest is the Skipjack. You got up into your Yellowfin, there's a 100, there's a 120, and a 130. That's a tandem one, it's like a two person. The 100 being 10 foot, the 120 being a little bit longer. And the Sea Ghost range is more for ones that you would take on the ocean, I imagine. And the Shearwater has a built-in skeg on it, lower profile. And I was looking at this Yellowfin 100 by Vibe. So I want to talk about kayaks, and especially Vibe. All this is leading to Vibe, and it doesn't seem like I've been talking about Vibe, but all this time I have, because these technical specs all go into why the Vibe's kayaks are something I like. In 2013, it came out. Their owner and their founder saw something that I have as well. There's a big jump between the cheap kayaks and the fishing ones. Fishing ones, the better kayaks that are more utilitarian, shall we say. It goes from about $300 to like $1,200 to $2,000. And there's no in between. If you want to take a regular kayak and modify it, you can get it somewhere close to that. But because a lot of these parts are made specifically for certain kayaks, the amount of fabricating and adjusting that you have to do is expert level. So he came up with his company and his commitment to make a kayak that's affordable and is what he would want. And it's like a tribe, he calls it. And right here he says it. No drama, just good vibes. I love this. It says here, in the wise words of Bob Marley, we don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. Every life, enjoy life and spread good vibes. And looking at Josh Thomas, the CEO of Vibe Kayaks, he dresses a lot like I do. He's got the bandana. He's not somebody that's a suit. He's somebody that he's the real deal. And he grew up in Texas. He was born in Texas and grew up in Germany, I should say. He's been all over. He's a real down-to-earth person. Real smart, wise businessman that takes what needs to be created and makes it so. So I'm reading through his profile and some of his employees, and what you see is something astounding you don't see in most companies. Doesn't mean their product is really great. Like you don't look at this and say this makes their product great, but looking at the philosophy of the company when I first looked at it, I was like, wow, these are people that I would know and hang out with. These are people that I would see in a trail. These are people I'd see in the lake. These are people I'd see in the bar. These are people like me. That's what he means by tribe. No drama, just adventure. So then I get into technical specs of this kayak I bought. And I love it. I love it. I'm like, you know, is this for real? Is this something for real for me? And I don't get excited about very many things, but this one I did. And I got it in orange. I got it in orange, one of my favorite colors. And it says it's not available, but when I went for it, they had it. I don't have the, I wanted it in black, to be honest with you, but they didn't have it. This model. Even bought their paddle. I know I went a little bit overboard on that. And I got rid of things I didn't need to pay for this because I've been, like I said before, I've been totally wiped out on money. But when it comes to this, I need the exercise. I need the time out. I need to get my back in shape. I want a good seat. I'm looking at it, and I'm just telling you exactly what I thought the first time I saw it. I like the name Vibe. Really cool idea. It's very soulful. The handles on it are great. The seat's great. The pedals are great. And wow, there's people standing up and doing headstands on it. Well, I'm not going to do that, but I love it. There's a rail system on it. Oh, wow, I can put a rail. Oh, fishing. You can hold a fishing rod holder on it. So that means when I'm on my sit-in kayak and I have my paddle holder, which is a tether. And then I have my fishing pole tethered in. How many times do they get wrapped around each other? And I'm worried about the fishing hook getting caught in this rope. And I'm not going to have to deal with any of that. So I love it. I love it. And I bought one. And basically traded what I had in for this. And again, a lot of their things they sell, I can make myself. I don't need the paddle lashings and all the other things. I can even take Amsteel and make an anchor rope for, take a little 5-pound weight if I needed to. I don't generally use an anchor on a kayak. But what a beautiful kayak. Now I'm looking at the green, and I really wish I would have got the green, the Galaxy. But orange is my killer. I like red, orange, yellow. Kind of smiled when they told me what they had available, and they says, "Well, nobody wants the orange." And I'm like, "Well, it's the one that's sold out." And it had the same color as when I was a little kid. My grandfather would send me down the store and get a bottle of Orange Crush. And we'd sit there and share it. So to me, it kind of made me smile for that of all the colors. I like the orange. It's not camo or stealthy at all, but I like that color. And it weighs about 60 pounds. It is not heavy. It's heavier, don't get me wrong. 60 pounds in bulk is weight no matter what. But it's not like some of their bigger kayaks that would be too big for me or not what I would desire. For me, this is the ability to take a boat and philosophy, the same way as hiking. When you're hiking, you want a pack that you can put what you need as light as you can, go out, leave no trace, and feel that philosophy that you feel here. I can pick up a kayak like this one that's comfortable to sit in, that treks well through the water. I'm sure I'll find things I don't like about it, but pick it up, put it in the water, go fishing. Not have to back a big boat in. My father would disagree. His idea of a boat was something that he wanted the biggest one as possible for safety reasons. But I feel that this has as many safety precautions as a boat that he would be on. I'm not going to sink this thing. He didn't like the little John boats where it was just basically a box of plastic he sat on and with a seat. Not much difference here, but this is a kayak. This is stealthier. I love it. And I worked with the rail system today. I made a piece of like a wooden handle that I can use to tie things to on a track. And when I'm tying it to transport it as well, like on a car or something, it is a safer point to anchor to, where you always worry about things falling off. That's just something I'm very self-conscious of. The Vibe kayak, what can I say? You know, it is 10 foot, 32 inches wide. It'll hold 375 pounds. So really, I wouldn't go above 270. Hull weight's 51 pounds, fully loaded 64. It's remolded, single piece of high-density polyethylene, I'm sorry. You get the Vibe Hero seat on it. Phantom grip holding for poles. Built-in cup holder. Nice foot braces. You got four flushing mount rod holders. You name it, this thing is nice. V-Wave deck plates, cargo bags. You name me a kayak in this price range that doesn't just have good deck plating cargo, but has the bags with it. Phenomenal. 8 scupper hole plugs, with the plugs included. And I kept them. I was like, at first, I was, take these things out. What are these? These are well made. And I'm thinking, well, I'll keep them. And I'm reading, well, actually, you do want to keep them because you don't take them all out. I love this. I love this. So, what can I say about the 3 kayaks I mentioned? Are you going to go wrong if you buy something cheaper, smaller, Sun Dolphin? No. I love my Sun Dolphins I've been on. I've had more fun on my Sun Dolphins than anything else. But I know that everything I've put into the Sun Dolphin, because I have a lot of experience in making things fit and adjusting the design on them to make them work on a Sun Dolphin, I added on to it. This already comes with, and it's made for it. So if you're good at gear, no problem with the Sun Dolphin. Or if you're just going out with the kids for a day, great. But if you want to go to that higher end for fishing, one that is very stable, like this vibe is, you can't go wrong. The whole philosophy of this telling you is because it took me many years to learn this. Going from large craft to smaller craft, you think of a smaller boat like a dinghy on a boat that's like a lifeboat, you know? You don't think of it as being something that you're going to put a lot of thought into. But that dinghy, though, is what a lot of people fish with. And that kayak is something just like a small motor that somebody is into, diesel mechanics that wants to work on something smaller. There's a lot of fun on that level you can have with it. These are a very nice kayak for that. And I'm going to be using this one to help with my healing from my back. You know, this is better seat. Get out. I'm not going to be hauling this thing. Okay. My arm is still bad. I still have trouble putting a t-shirt on. But if I can get in the water and work a little bit, get some exercise. Because the rowing machine was always my favorite thing before I was injured. This, I can take baby steps. Love it. So that's all the technical specs I can think of offhand about kayaks. I'm not going to go into, like I said, all those gear specs, ounces, pounds. It drives me crazy with hiking. It really does. It really drives me nuts. You get it in fountain pens, too. I'm into fountain pens, and it's like, oh, the specs on this fountain pen, the specs on this. And people pay $150 for a fountain pen, $300, and yet you can get one for $3. It works just as well. It writes, okay? It's like that with guitars, you know. Do what you love and find the love in it. Live. You only have one life. We've been through this awful pandemic, and it's still going on. I'm not a fool. But if you get a chance, remember to live. And God bless you all. And be safe out there. Thank you.